The opioid epidemic is much more far-reaching than people think. That's something commentator Mildred Antenor wants to make clear this week.
The opioid crisis kills an average of 130 people each day and costs the U.S. economy an estimated $78 billion a year. But what we often don't hear about is that opioid addiction is hitting black urban communities in the same way that it's affecting white rural ones. However, the reports that we hear in the news has led us to believe otherwise. People of color are obscured when it comes to this issue. But haven't we always been hidden? Although the numbers show that opioid victims in the black community tend to be lower than that of white communities, minorities who are addicted to opioids tend to get little to no help in comparison to Caucasians with the same drug addiction. People of color are basically left to their own devices to try and figure out a way to get out of their drug dependence, and a large number of minorities don't survive as a result. A study found that Caucasians were 35 times more likely to visit hospitals for treatment compared to African Americans. Some of the most common reasons for this were because of health insurance and straight-up cash. The lack of options for people of color and for people from lower socioeconomic status means that they often go without the treatment that they so badly deserve. It's almost as if they are being slowly suffocated and done away with, which often leads to other forms of illness and often death. Not only that, but the shocking element in all of this for me is that some doctors project mistrust onto black patients when treating them. Surveys reveal discrimination toward black patients based on the color of their skin, financial status, and other factors. Incredible, isn't it? As a matter of fact, I read recently that some doctors believe that black people have an ability to be incredibly strong and tough during painful situations, as if we are not part of the human race and cry and bleed as they do. And as a result of that, the doctors therefore don't give their patients of color the meds that they need. That same report said the doctors believe that patients of color will sell drugs, so they're reluctant to prescribe it to them. When I think about it, it boggles my mind. The amount of years that a doctor has to spend getting his or her medical degree, but on a deeper level, there is a profound prejudice that lurks in some medical practitioners, and I wonder how much education it will take to remove that. In my book, The Gladioli Are Invisible, I talk about my childhood friend, Pouchon, who became a statistic at the age of 26. He was a user of crack cocaine, became addicted to it, and subsequently lost his life. And because of his socioeconomic status, his race, and ethnicity, it was all too easy to bypass him. Pouchon died 28 years ago, and although there was a weak attempt by the Reagan administration to combat the urban drug problem with the very unrealistic Just Say No campaign back then, very little was done to help the thousands of black addicts and victims of the crack epidemic. Besides the Just Say No campaign, the government began the War on Drugs initiative, which resulted in an immense growth in court caseloads and the prison population. The War on Drugs focused on small-time drug dealers who were generally poor young black males from the inner city, just like Pouchon. Ultimately, the prison population doubled due to the arrest of drug dealers and their customers. One in every four African-American males aged 20 to 29 was either incarcerated or on probation or parole by 1989, which led to the U.S. having the highest incarceration rate in the world. And that fact still holds true today. Thank goodness that crack cocaine doesn't have the hold on inner cities as it once had in the 1980s and 90s. But we're fighting a new drug now. The opioid epidemic. But if you look closely to examine, you'll find that things haven't really changed in those 28 years. It just shows up differently. Bills can be passed into law, but you can't legislate how people think or how they feel. I'm Mildred Antenor.
Mildred Antenor is a Seton Hall professor and the author of The Gladioli Are Invisible, a memoir.